And what it's like a spiritual experience. You know, there was the outward miracle that the Lord Jesus gave. The Lord Jesus performed, I think, about four times he gave sight to the blind. And that was a picture. And it meant something more than just like a physical, you know, reinstatement or opening of a sight. But Paul talks about, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So right here, he looks at this like there's eyes in your heart. There's eyes in your heart. And those would be enlightened. And when those eyes in your heart are enlightened, you begin to see something. And I would say, like, if you know, you could do things about church, around church, kind of like with church, but you never have this enlightening because it's all like outward. It's all an outward thing. But what I'd like to talk about is the inward. There's something inward where you just see it. You just see something within. It's a spiritual experience. It's an inward experience. And it just makes you different. It makes you really different. And here it says, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You know, like you could say before your eyes are enlightened, you might say something like, yes, Jesus is my hope. Or there, God gives hope. But you don't quite know what that hope is. It's like maybe that hope is like most exhibited when you fill out a lottery ticket. You have a certain hope. Wow, the hope that this lottery ticket would be something, but it's not the hope of his calling. But then you see something deeper and you just realize like, wow, I have a spiritual experience where I realize that God called me. There's a hope and there's something that I can see of Christ. He's so real that my life becomes directed to that. And then my life becomes directed to see the hope of his calling. And I realize it's so real. It's so real. And then even there's another verse that says, there's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then you begin to say like, you know, if I win the lottery or not, it doesn't, it's not gonna, you know, affect that hope of his calling. My life is actually just for Christ. And I see that. And there's something real. So Blaze, you'll be my favorite person to ask questions to. 3 months ago, did you see, were the eyes of your heart enlightened to see the hope of his calling? Were you interested in Jesus at all? A little bit, but did you see something? But do you see something now? The eyes of your heart enlightened. Enlightened. Something spiritual. Something real. Blaze, do you even know what this means, the hope of his calling, like in detail? But does it taste good? Yeah. You're just like, I taste it. I see that. Why? You touch eternity. You touch eternity. You know, well, if I go this way, it'll be, but anyway, yeah, I'll tell this story. You know, sometimes in the church, there's a lot of like single people, like, you know, and let me tell you, if you're single and you're of marriageable age, we're concerned that you would find a good spouse, right? If you're single and you want to find a marriage partner, tell Betty and Felicia. They'll pray for it. Will you pray for them? Okay. But anyway, so sometimes I try. Sometimes I try. And I was telling this brother, I was with this brother, and I was like, how about this sister? And it wasn't a random thing. I really thought about it. Like, how about this sister? And you should have seen the look on his face. There was nothing. So I was like, how about this sister? And I was like, she's good. She's this way. And there's nothing. And then just no reaction. I thought, like, I was wondering, like, are you alive? That conversation, like, do you have a pulse? Just nothing. Okay. Now, this doesn't always happen. But in maybe a month, let me just use these words. The eyes of his heart were enlightened. And he asked her out. And now they're married. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. But I just remember, I was like, brother, this sister, so good. I was like, are you alive? But now they're married. And then that's what it is. And then you could say, like, and I'm not just talking about initial salvation, I'm not just talking about the first time you've seen the Lord. I'm talking about, like, you know, it's not just that. We don't just think about, once you believe in Jesus, you're okay. There's nothing more. No, there is so much more. And you know, that so much more is this. I was just chugging along in my Christian life, and then nothing really was happening. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you go to church? Yeah. But then you need a fresh experience of the eyes of your heart being enlightened. And then you just see the Lord in a new way. And then all of a sudden you take another step with the Lord. Why? Because you saw something. I saw something. I really see something. And there's like a continual unveiling of who Christ is. Why? Because your heart is just enlightened more and more and more. Anthony, do you know everything you need to know about Jesus right now? Your eyes need to be enlightened. See afresh. See something new. And, you know, and then here, it's like, you know what the hope of his calling. And then look at this. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What does that mean? Okay, there's the saints. That's us. Some Catholics, the Catholics think saints are this. Like, saints are people that are approved by the Pope because they did a miracle, something like that. But actually, if you read the New Testament, saints are just Christians. Every believer is called saints. So look in this room. As long as you see a believer in Jesus, that's a saint. Chip, you're a saint. Have you ever done a miracle? No, he's never done a miracle, but he's a saint. Saint Chip. And then, you know, this is it. Your eyes of your heart are enlightened, and then you see, oh, there are riches of the glory of God's inheritance in Chip. And then you start to see the church in a whole different way. We're not just a group of, like, whatever, like, people that are trying to get by and feel like, you know, this is a good community or whatever. No, God has an inheritance in all of us. And you start to realize that. And you start to see that. And you start to appreciate that. Why? Because the eyes of your heart are enlightened. And you just start to see things. Okay. Now, how's it happen? I was going to say you have to have an experience of Jesus himself. You have to have an experience of Jesus himself. So this is the first one. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. So this man never saw. Never. Just never. And that's a case. Later, we'll see people that had seen and lost it. This man never saw. And so he didn't even know what it is. You say a man or a woman, he doesn't even know what that is. You see a tree, you say a kangaroo. He doesn't, what? Of course, he will probably want to know about kangaroos anyway. He saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So this is one thing. It's not that he did something wrong or he sinned or his parents or there was some kind of, you know, sin that could be pointed to. It was just so that God would be glorified. Okay, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said this, this is what Jesus did. He spat on the ground. Amen. He made clay of the spittle. Amen. 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 And applied the clay to his eyes. I'm not going to demonstrate this, not going to ask anybody to demonstrate this, but it's kind of gross. But this is Jesus. Sometimes he gets right into your life, right into the dirt. You know, it's interesting because Adam was made of dust. Like, so if you say, that's really dusty, that's really dirty, that's really dirty, then God might say, you're made of dust. And this is just what is part of you. And he puts this clay on his eyes. And you would think, like, if you want this person to become seeing, you could say, like, Jesus, you just made it worse. Because now, not only does he have to have his, like, eyes open, but now there's clay there. But, you know, what he does is he goes, applies clay to his eyes. He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. If you want to know where the pool of Siloam is, just in the last maybe 30 years, they've archaeologically discovered this in Jerusalem, so you could YouTube that up, which is translated sent. He went away and washed, and let's read this together, and came back seeing. He saw. It was a real experience of Jesus. And, you know, I kind of spiritualize a little bit the picture. Something came out of the mouth of the Lord. And in this way, it was spit. But out of the mouth of the Lord, and then it just mixed with the clay in the ground, which is like what you're made of. And then that was applied to the eyes. And that was the process of seeing. You know, Jesus says, like, he quotes to Satan. And Satan was tempting him. Satan said, turn these stones into bread. And then, you know, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And then Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So he says, like, okay, there's a word that comes out, and that's a livingness. And if you look at that quote from Deuteronomy, you're like, where's the word word? There's no word word in the Hebrew. There's only word in the Greek translation, which is in the New Testament, which Jesus uses. But in the Hebrew, it's like this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And then you could add word because it's, you know, Jesus quotes it as a word, so it makes sense. But you just like, there's something that comes out from God, from the Lord himself, touches you, mixes with you. And in that way, that's like the beginning of the process of being able to see, I'll tell you a story. There's a young man. He grew up in church. And he kind of knew the right words to say. He knew the right, like, things to do. And maybe the older people in that church would look at that young man and say this, hopeful. Wow. Spiritual. But inside that young man's heart, he knew there's a difference. It's different. No. Distant. I'm far. And then there was a experience that that young man had in his family. And I won't go into details what that experience was, but like there was something he just realized, like, I can't get through. And I hate a member of my family. Finally, he realized. And then something came out of the Lord's mouth. And it mixed with the clay that that brother was made of. And it was put on his eyes. And he washed, whatever that means. And then within him, there was an experience where he just realized the hate is gone. And I love the member of my family. Jesus changed me. He changed me. And now, he didn't say these words. I could put them in his mouth. I see something. I see. It's like a real experience of the Lord. It's real. Something comes out of his mouth. And you could say this is like the Christian life. It's not you. It's not your energy. It's not your power. It's like, I'm just here. I receive something of the Lord. I receive. Oh, wow. I am not what does the Pope say this week? Practical atheist. This is too many practical atheists. In other words, you're in church, but you're not, you don't really believe. It's like there, and then I like it. I don't know what the context is, so don't quote me on all that. But anyway, but it's like I don't really believe. In other words, like you're living your Christian life, but you're not relying on the Lord. And then when this person was brought to see, then what happened? It's like, wow, something came out of the Lord's mouth. Then it's like mix it into clay and then you put it in your eyes, you wash, and then you realize, oh, I experienced Jesus. And that causes me to see. And that's like, yeah, the Lord then is causing us all to see, all of us. And then you don't know in your life what this is. What is your whatever. It could even just be like, Lord, I just don't know you that well. I don't sense you. Lord, help me in my senselessness. And then he's ready to put something on your eyes. And then all of a sudden, you can testify of your own experience, from your own history. The Lord Jesus is real. He's dynamic. And he brought me to see this. And you know what? I see. Okay, the next one. It doesn't really have to take a lot. I like this one. They came to Jericho. A simple prayer. You should practice this simple prayer. You should practice simple prayer. Sometimes prayer can be a lot of different ways. Just, okay, this is simple prayer. I'll get to the main. Just tell the Lord what you want. That's simple prayer. Okay. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Doesn't this guy sound annoying? I would probably, if I were there, I would say, look, just be a little quiet. Just calm down. Don't be so whatever. But he was like, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And here it is. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He's calling you. And then throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, and then here it is. What do you want me to do for you? That's really crucial. You know, kind of like, don't entrepreneur groups like teach you, like, it's called the elevator pitch. Have you ever heard of the elevator pitch? It's like, okay, you have a venture capitalist, or you have an idea. You have an idea for a company. And then you are, and then this is the scene. You have an idea for a company. And then you're in the elevator with a guy who could invest in your company. And then you have the elevator ride to let him know everything important. So you're not going to ask like, do you like cheese on your hamburger? You're not going to ask like that. You're not going to ask stuff like that to this guy. You're going to have to say, you have maybe 1 minute to tell your whole company idea. It's like, you know, okay, the need, you know, people need, you know, whatever. They like donuts. And so I'm going to have, like, anyway, and then I'm going to have this new kind of donut. And then I'm going to do it this way. And I'm going to do it that way. And all I need is $10 million investment. And then that'll be great. And then you can say it all in 1 minute in an elevator with a guy who didn't even know you were going to be with him. And then after he comes out of the elevator, he's like, I'm going to invest $10 million. That's the goal. Okay. That's kind of like what this was right here. Because he was like, Jesus, have mercy on me. And then he's like, what do you want? And then the guy was like, I've been training for this time my whole life. I'm in the elevator with Jesus. I'm finally like, what do you want? And then I think it's funny. I'll just make fun of Christians for a little bit. You know, like a lot of times you ask somebody to pray, And then they'll be like, thank you for this day. Thank you, it's warm. Thank you, the sun is out. Thank you, we're together. Okay, you lost a lot of time in the elevator. Jesus is like, what do you want? What do you want? And you're like, thank you for this day. He's like, what? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm breathing. I gave you breath. Yeah. Okay. This is weird, but I'm just gonna say the point of this message is prepare your elevator pitch for Jesus. Okay, what do you want? What do you want? And then you just ask him. And then here he says, Rabboni, that's rabbi. I want to regain my sight. The English kind of ruins it because it's just like, that I may see. The Greek is that I may see. Just that I may see. And Jesus said to him, sure. See, not complicated. You know who's complicated? You. You know who's simple? Jesus. Go. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Just like, that I may see. That I may see. Sometimes I wonder, like, what is this person really like? And so I just ask, Lord, can you show me? Show me what this person's like. Oh, that doesn't have to be so many details. Sometimes I like, can you grow in this person? Just, what do you want? Grow in Tom Becker. How's that for a prayer? You like that prayer? Working Barbara, you like that prayer? Just do it. Lord, I want to see. Okay, final one. Okay, this one is about, like, it may not work well the first time. Okay, coming to Bethsaida. This is another town. It's northeast of Sea of Galilee. West, Sea of Galilee. And they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, I like this. He brought him out of the village. In other words, I got to get you out. Maybe Blaze, the Lord was like, I just got to get you out of Brassica for a little bit. Did you believe in Jesus in Brassica or out of Brassica? Out. Yeah. In Brassica, you're like, falafel with that or whatever. You got to get away from the falafel, get away from chicken, get away from zug sauce, whatever. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village after spitting on his eyes. We could vote, like, what would you rather do? Have Jesus spit on the ground and then put clay on your eyes? Or, this is pretty direct. Jesus would be like, can you take off your glasses? Of course, he's blind. He wouldn't have glasses. Can you take off your glasses? What for? Just take them off. Okay. Spitting on his eyes, laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? And then he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. It's interesting, like trees walking around. And so, okay. So the commentaries here, they're funny. You know, sometimes commentaries are jokes, almost like these. Some commentaries say, like, he never saw before. And then other commentaries say, like, how, if he never saw before, how would he know they look like trees walking? you know, and then so commentary is they fight each other. It's like, go for it. I'm on that side, actually. How would he know what a tree looks like if he never saw, you know? So I think he saw before. And then they're just like trees walking, and you're just like I don't know what he was thinking about. Like, there's a tree over there. It just walked. Whoa. And it's kind of like, maybe he's like, Jesus, I give you a solid B for this one. You don't get an A. You get a B. Because I can see something, but they kind of look like trees. And they're walking. Okay. So then Jesus is like, okay. Let's try it again. Then again, he laid his hands on his eyes and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. Okay, then you could ask, like, was Jesus just like out of his game for a little bit? Like, I have no idea. But he needed twice. He needed two times. And I'm kind of glad this happened. And I'll also spit once. Lay hands twice. And that there might be some deep spiritual meaning there. If you figure it out, let me know. We could talk. It's like, there's only one spit, but there's two laying on of hands. But anyway, we just want to focus on this. You probably won't see everything the first time. You probably won't. You won't. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him, you know, and he saw the Lord himself, you know, he appeared to him, the Lord himself in, you know, in resurrection, he appeared to Paul. And then the Lord says, like, I'm going to show you the things in which I will appear to you. In other words, there'll be something more. There'll be something more. And you just have to realize, like, to see men as trees walking is not bad. It's not bad. But this sign shows us that there's a progression. It's something more. You know, you could see a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, and you see them. And then you're just like, I just don't understand it. They look like trees walking. And you might not quite understand exactly what they have seen, exactly who they are, exactly like what causes that kind of person to live that kind of life before the Lord. You're just like, I just don't know. But you know what? You need one more laying on of hands of Jesus. And it's just, there's something more. There's something more. And if you say, I understand, church, in the fullness, in its entirety, and I can tell you what's wrong. I can tell you, I can complain about it. I can whatever. It's like, you're kind of out of this realm. Outside of the realm of this person who saw. You know, he just told Jesus, I see men as trees. I see them like trees walking around. And then the Lord's like, let me take you another step. Another step. Because he wants them to see clearly. Only time in the New Testament that word is used. And if you look at some Greek thing, it's like farnir, farnir. The word is farnir. It's like, it's very far, but it looks like it's near. It's like, there's kind of a clarity there. And then you see again, it's like, it's another instance of the Lord. It's like, you need to receive the spit from the Lord in your eyes. And that will cause you to have the first kind of seeing. But, you know, you may just see a little bit. Oh, okay, so Blaise, I'll ask you. What stage are you in? Did you receive the spit from Jesus' eyes or Jesus' mouth in your eyes? Yeah. Has he laid his hands the second time on you? Yeah. That's the goal. Oh, yeah. Have you decided about baptism yet? Oh, good, good. Okay. Are you going to get with somebody? Who's going to get with Blaise to talk about baptism? Oh, Tom. Okay. Okay. Can you guys talk this week? Is that good? Okay. Great, great. Okay. Very good. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And then you have another laying on of hands. And you just realize, like, I got to see more. I got to see more. I'm so glad. This is what the Lord does. If you look on the earth, people are lost. The generation is lost. The young generation is lost. Where's the truth? TikTok? What can you follow? You want to follow the news? Which news? You want to just make money? Is that the purpose of life? You're just lost. You want everyone to become middle class? From lower to middle class, and that's the goal. Just lost. You know what this generation needs? Sight. Sight from the Lord. And then you look at people in churches, and you say, like, well, at least they're in churches. And then you realize, like, huh, you want to just end with a good community, which is good. I hope. It's a good community. You want to just end with doing Christian things? Mm-mm. No. Do you know what we need? We need sight. Sight. And where does that sight come from? It comes from a genuine experience of the Lord. Genuine experience of the Lord. And it can happen. What comes out of his mouth? The spit, well, the word comes out of his mouth. Even sometimes people, you know, they don't know how to talk that well. So when they talk, they spit. Have you ever talked to a person like that? You're kind of like, hello, and you walk. Anyway, I don't know if the Lord talks and spits or whatever, but this has come out of his mouth. And here we have spit coming out of his mouth. And then somehow, the words that come out of the mouth are mingled with the dirt, and then they put it over our eyes, and then you really start to see something. And I've seen this. Like, one brother, he's not here, but he gave a testimony. I had no idea what was going on with my Christian life until every morning I spent time reading the Bible and praying. And, you know, then he became clear. It's just like, phew. And then his eyes became clear. And but somehow the what comes out of the Lord's mouth is covering our and is put into our eyes. And then you know what? We can be people who see. And when we see, we just realize, oh, that's the hope of my calling. That's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That is the power that is operating towards us by God. And you begin to live in a realm that is a realm of the spirit.